Welcome back to Right Quick,
a bite-sized pop culture conversation with your favorite queer, unfriendly black hotties.
Today we're unfriendly because honestly, the trauma of my bloodline ends here. And honestly, I'm friendly because of that. I'm actually friendly because I know that I'm ending my bloodline with me.
And I'm Vansco.
Obviously, I'm non-DK. You know, I got, you know, this is a polarizing topic. Wow, I haven't used that word in a while.
Ending your bloodline is a polarizing topic. I guess I am too. Like, if we're talking blood, right? If we're talking blood, then yes. But I don't know. Your influence, I think, is something that will live on.
And, absolutely.
People will still talk about and believe in. And I think that that means something.
I think that's the real thing that I want to leave behind.
Yeah. So, like, you know, I mean, we're getting off topic, but we're going to bring it back. But, yeah, like, legacy, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think that legacy is not only, like, oh, yeah, blood. Because I think that is what our parents think. And, like, men mostly. Like, men, like, my seed, my legacy. Ugh. And it's like, nigga, you suck. And like,
also, men don't have the seed. Just a little quick biology lesson for everyone. The egg is what non-men have. Sperm is fertilizer. It's not a seed.
But y'all, these niggas stupid, be like, they be saying my seed
because they're illiterate, as we well know.
They hold that, and it's just like, oh, that's their legacy, and that's the only way they think of legacy. And I'm like, hopefully your kids are better than you, which, I mean, it should be the case, but, you know, because if not, there's gonna be more of you in the world, and yikes.
But that's what they be wanting, though. A lot of times. That's what they be thinking about. They be like thinking another them. And I'm like, who said there should be another you?
And I think that's the problem. I think it's just like simply because they can. I think sometimes people make kids because they can. And I think that that is maybe not how you should go.
Nick Cannon found it.
He trying to start an army or something. Like, who knows?
Who knows what he's about, like, to do? Somebody needs to keep an eye on his ass, though, because it's sinister, whatever he's trying to do.
Right. It's not for good. He's trying to, like, repopulate the world, the underground bunkers.
No.
With little mulatresses.
Little mulatresses. Well, today we're talking about parenting and parents. Which... I mean, do you want to give our disclaimer before we get into it?
Yeah, so content warning, parents. So the disclaimer here is just like, we're not here to dump on parents in general. And it is actually an honor to be someone's parent, like to be charged with the ring of children. And I think that we joke, like, I think we both say fuck them kids all the time. But
of course.
This is the pro kids podcast, and that, like, we want a better world for kids. So I think this is, like, even part of the conversation. Like, if there are better parents, then there will be stronger and better children.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so yeah, that's a disclaimer, because I think we probably are going to get into it a little about parents. Like, I know, you know, spoiler, we both don't have the greatest, I guess, dynamics or relationships with our parents.
No, not even close. I think that's putting it kindly, TBH, to be like, we don't have the best of relationships. Well, that's a nice way to say it. Yeah, so we'll keep saying it nice, but yeah, like, I'm no contact with my mom. I speak to my dad, and, like, you know, he'd be trying his best, and that's the only reason I speak to him.
I'm similar. I think I'm like diet no contact with both my parents. I mean, like, my mom, I see her when I go to town once every 4 months, when I go to my hometown, once every 4 or 5 months or whatever. But, like, it don't feel like good over there. And
yeah,
a lot of it is me. And what I mean by that is, like, what I'm just holding on to, and just, like, sometimes.
Right. Because did she apologize or try to make amends?
Where they do that at?
Then it's not necessarily you holding on to it. It's just leftover pain. Like,
and I feel like it's not always linear, right? So sometimes it feels like you work on stuff and then mm-hmm. you might see or hear something that kind of brings you back to a place and then you kind of, you know, I don't want to say rescind, but yeah, you just kind of like, yeah, so it's not linear. You watch My Hero Academia.
Of course.
Endeavor. Rookie. Yes, and Endeavor, yeah. right? Like he forgives his dad, quote unquote forgives his dad, but then like when you look at his phone when his dad calls him, it's like 10 missed calls. Mm-hmm. And then all the text thread is just like his dad reaching out and him just being like, nah, because he's a teenage boy. I love seeing that. It's realistic. It's not mm-hmm. like, oh, I forgave you and we're besties. Cause like, it's still complicated.
Yeah.
The feelings are still there. Like, like nigga, you still.
Just because you call me now doesn't mean I forgot all the harm you did. And it's about harm caused, right? When someone harms you and then they won't acknowledge it, apologize for it, try to make amends or atone for it, but then they want to be cool. We can't be, ain't shit cool. You harmed me. You maybe even abused me.
Yeah.
We're not cool. I'm not cool with abusers. But we know that's one of the main problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's one of the main problems. What do you think it means to be a parent or someone raising young people? Like, what does it mean to be pro-kid for you?
So I think for me, I think that like being a parent or being in charge of young people is like, it's a charge. It's a like, you are charged with doing this. This is regardless if you chose to or not, right? Like mm-hmm. we got it, accidents, whatever. But like once that is the case and you decide to do it, you're charged with that. So mm-hmm. like you are responsible for like, I say facilitating, and I know that sounds a little woo-woo because I know some parents are like, no, bitch, that's my property. And yeah, I'm like, you facilitate their growth. And of course, that may mean that you instill your beliefs because those are mm-hmm. the only beliefs you have to go mm-hmm. off of. Got it. But like, that doesn't mean that you're still not, well, like, once you do that, you still got to like let that seed grow and do what it's going to do. And it's going to do what it's going to do.
Yeah. Regardless of what you try to do, right?
Right, and you need to understand that. So I do think that like there is a level of like the idea that you can control this person is not true. Mm-hmm. That's not true for your adult relationships. I don't think it's true for the children, right? And I think that like they got to let that go and just kind of like understand that like, yeah, you were a facilitator. You were facilitating this little person becoming a big person and being well adjusted and having healthy relationships.
Yeah.
And maybe give them a leg up. Like if you got resources and a nice, then you make sure that they're good and they're okay because they don't need to struggle for no reason. Like you did.
Yeah. I think a lot about that because as a parent, you're literally, kids depend on you for their survival.
Mm-hmm.
Kids, when the kids are born, they can't do anything without you. Thanks to child labor laws, children aren't allowed to work. So they can't contribute to the household. They shouldn't be expected to. Their job should be just growing up. They should just be growing up, learning about the world. That's also the job of a parent. Teach your kids about the world. Teach your kids how to interact with the world. Teach your kids how to be empathetic. But I agree with you. It's a charge. It's an honor. I think having a child, being a parent, is like a divine charge to get even more woo-woo.
Mm-hmm.
Because in what other circumstances, unless you're an educator, do you get to shape a life in such a way? There's not really a lot of cases outside of being a parent that you get to shape somebody's life and personality and who they are. By facilitating, like you said, them growing into who they are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, kids are really cool. We were just talking before we started about how kids are really funny. I like talking to kids because they just have the most absurd thought pattern. On Sean's podcast, we talked about how Kalina said that Pig was a boy because Pig is a brown dog. Uh-huh. It's brown. That's why yeah, she said that pig is a boy.
A boy color.
Yeah, a boy. A boy color, yes.
Yeah, no, kids are hilarious. I like, I feel like kids are always putting a mirror up to us, right? Yes. So, like, you can't really fake it with kids. And, of course, you can try, right? But, like, they see through it. And like, it makes you have to show up. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I think people that are unable to don't like kids. Right. Or right. It's just like these kids are always either challenging me or they're calling me out or whatever, which they're going to do. They're going to kids will humble you like you.
I like that.
You a CEO at work. When you come home, nigga, you the sandwich man. Like what you like, the, you know, like the
make
chicken tender.
Sandwich,
right.
Man.
Like the chicken tender man thinks yeah. he's important. We don't care. Like, nigga, make the food. So
this is why I only care about what kids think. I've never really cared about like an adult's comment on something that I'm doing, but children's comments, that's children and Black women. That's really the comments that I'm really showing up, taking into consideration, taking it to the bank, cashing it, buying a house.
All honest people.
Yeah.
Children of Black women, the most honest groups.
Truly. Yeah. And kids are just so funny. Kalina always gives me compliments when we see each other, which is nice. You know, I have pretty hard boundaries with Kalina. I'm a boundary person. That's my job to teach children.
But kids like that too. Like kids fuck with rules. Like I think if you set a rule and you're consistent, which sounds like a boundary, kids fuck with that. Like they are quick learners. I think mm-hmm. like when it's fast and loose, when you're playing it fast, and the kids realize real quick.
Yeah,
I don't gotta do nothing. That bitch say because
this is
it's fast and loose, and then they run you. I mean, and we were kids. That's what I used to do. Like let you run a loose ship. I'm the captain now. What you mean?
Wow. I'm like I can't even remember honestly. I've blocked out most of my childhood. I can't remember really ever being like. Bad.
No, I wasn't. Well, I was bad. I've had my time.
You were definitely bad. You have told stories on this very podcast.
I think I got bad when I was a teenager. When I was a little kid, I was
all teenagers are bad.
Yeah, I was cutting up, but it was like all a reflection of what was happening at home. Because
yes,
like,
that's what I'm saying.
Cause like, yeah, well, and at home I didn't have to like run afoul of the rules because it was a loose ship. It was just like you kind of do what you want, like.
Including yeah, take care of yourself.
Yeah, yes.
Right, right. Yeah, the ship is very loose.
You two kids, y'all raise each other. And then
oh my God.
One runs away, then you gotta then you raise yourself, baby. And it was like, ooh. But yeah, so, well, do we even want to talk about the second question here?
No, not yet. If it comes yeah, okay. up, we can. Yeah, yeah,
fair
yeah.
enough. Oh, what about the last one? I do like this question. Do you think it's important to even have a healthy relationship with your parent? And I think that's a loaded question, but
it depends. Are your parents healthy people to have relationships with? I think that's actually the question.
Yeah, the more important.
Yeah, because the pressure to have relationships with your parents, the societal pressure to be in communication with your parents unconditionally kept me in like an abusive cycle for way longer than I would have liked.
It feels very Christian to me. Or
it
religious,
is.
Right? We're like, yeah. Oh, that's your mama.
Yeah.
You would tell someone the most heinous story they ever heard. And then they will follow up with, that's your mama. And I'm like, this is your mama.
Oh, my daddy used to say that. And I said, do you want to become like her?
Right. Did you listen to any word I just said? Like, what are we talking about?
So yeah, then, he was like, I'll stop bringing it up because I don't want to get blocked. And I know that's right.
That part.
I bet you don't.
Yeah, so I do think, I see it like, I think we've talked about it several times, like the queerness of like the way we live our lives. Mm-hmm. I think that like I see family as like maybe different than like traditional. So
yeah.
I see the importance in father and mother figures, parental figures, and I kind of collect them. But as far as like my actual parents, like, yeah, like you said, like if there's if it ain't making sense, don't make, you know, we don't got to make it make sense. So like, I see parents like coworkers almost, or neighbors, where it's like,
that's a great way to put it.
If it would be nice to have a good relationship with my neighbor, it would be nice to have a good relationship with my coworkers, right? Like, it just makes it an easier place to be if you're at work and you like your coworkers and they like you. Mm-hmm. You go out of town, your neighbor's watching your house and you know that. Or you got to leave for a week and they could watch your dog or whatever, right? Like, those are all perks. Those are great. Yeah. But, like, is it necessary? Sure isn't. Like mm-hmm. I think we could all figure it out without that support. But it's obviously great to have it.
Yeah, when I see, I definitely be, like, feeling jealous of people who have really close relationships with their parents, because I could never even imagine that. I remember getting to high school and realizing that that was a thing. I just didn't even realize that people were having that experience. I thought everybody was like fighting with their mama and like getting like treated bad. I just thought that was just the norm until I went to like a friend's house.
Right. Or even the things that our parents tell us, like the fact that you got to leave home at 18. Like, I think that might be a Black thing, too. But like, just being told that ever since you were five, that like when you turn 18, you got to go. So like, it always felt like I was a tenant in the house. Mm-hmm. And then the closer you got to 18, it's like, well, I'm getting ready to go anyway. And I'm like, what kind of fucking like. If you just think about it for a little bit, like, that is no way to raise anybody, to tell them that, like, almost like they're not wanted, right? Like, we don't want you here, and you gotta go as soon as you're old enough. As soon as it's legal for us to kick you out, we're gonna do it. And it's just like, and like, luckily, you know, it was in the 2000 whatevers where, like, you could kind of afford to leave, but like, these niggas can't leave now. Like, you can't be telling nobody that.
I'm like, I couldn't fucking leave. My mom kicked me out when I was 17. And then she kicked me out 1 week after graduation. That was the last time, because I was like, you're not about to kick me out again. Like, I'm not letting this happen. And before that, I started working when I was 14, but my mama also used to make me quit my jobs whenever she got upset. So, like, classic abusers, how they, like, isolate you. Mm-hmm. You don't have money.
Right.
Such and such and such and such. So when my mom kicked me out when I was 17, she thought I wasn't going to have nowhere to go. I walked to my godmama house, who lived in the area. Mind you, I hadn't been there for years, but it was like midnight. And I said, I hope this is the right house. It was, luckily. But I stayed there. I went to school. She called my dad. My dad came and got me. My mom fell out with that lady because my mom wanted me to, I don't know, be sleeping on the doorstep when she
put me out.
Completely unhinged behavior. So she fell out with that person for helping me. And then I went to live with my dad a week after graduation. And that kind of thing, I think starting there, that was irreparable damage to our relationship starting at 17. I think from there, we kind of were never mendable, but I kept trying because, you know, it's your mom.
Yeah.
Very stupid, but, you know, you're a kid. I was a kid.
Yeah, that's some peak op shit.
Yeah, she's a peak op. That's why I had to stop talking to her. Yeah, she mad that someone helped me. Yeah, that's what I'd be saying, like, the abuse to, like... But my dad, who was not present when I was growing up as a kid, really, and that was a lot of their divorce shit, which, grown people, listen, don't make your kids a part of whatever y'all got going on.
So they're gone.
Don't do that. It's just, it's a mess. Don't do it. Just don't do it. But then when I got kicked out when I was 18, my dad had just dropped me off because I was there for the weekend. And then when I got there, my mom called him and was like, come pick Nandi back up. She can live here, because somebody had called me on the phone. And she was like, you're on punishment. I was always on punishment. She's like, I'm not going to take Nandi's disrespect. And so then I was live with my dad until I went off to college. And that was really it. I've been on my own since then. I was like housing insecure in college, like, because my dad also put me out while I was in college.
Because of the jail thing?
No, it was after that. But maybe, now that I'm thinking about it. I don't remember why.
Yeah, I similarly moved out at 17, but it was weird because I was kind of in and out of my mama's house at like 16, 17. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up back with her. And then I was 17, and then like something happened. I think somebody stole money out of my bank account and someone that lived in my house.
Right.
And mind you, 90, we were talking like I was a $0 there. So right. I probably had $40. Somebody wrote a check for $40 and I overdrafted. Don't know nothing. So I go to the bank and they're like, yeah, you overdraft. And I was like, what happened? They were like, it was a check written. And I was like, I don't even know how to write a check. I've never done that. Like, it couldn't have been me. So I went home and asked my mom. And my mom was like, I thought it was her man because he might have been a crackhead. So I was just like,
your mama got a type.
Yeah, I was like, that crackish nigga out there, I think he might have wrote a name, you know, a check on my name. She was like, oh, that was me. And she walked out the room. And I said, what? And I don't know why that was the last straw, like, because a lot of stuff had happened, but that
was simply... My mom stopped speaking to her mama over that. Grandma bought a fucking washer and dryer on a credit card registered to my mama without her knowledge. They didn't speak for a couple years because she went defaulted on the payment. So then it fucked my mama credit up.
Right.
My mama has 3 children. She's single. She makes no money. She used to work for the state. Like, she didn't speak to my grandma for years about that. And I think that's correct because how dare you? How dare you? You should have maybe beat her ass low key.
I mean, I was shook and then I was like, all right. So then I moved out that day and then I came and got my stuff like eventually. But then like there was no concern. Like I wasn't really asked where I went. At my graduation, she met the lady I was living with because I just moved in with one of my homies. And it wasn't even like, oh, thanks for taking care of my son, nothing. It was just like, oh, hey.
This is what I'd be saying. This is why, I moved back to my hometown. And, like, I ran into my mama that one time. And then I had, like, the worst year ever. I think it was because I worked on my birthday. But then I ran into my mama that year. And that was terrible. But, like... Also, that's the only time she's ever seen me since I've been back. Like, she cannot see me. She cannot call me. She cannot talk to me. She don't have my address. Nothing. And I cut her off from my daddy, too. I was like, tell that hoe. If she got some more stuff that she want to give me, throw it away. Because you're not about to be the middleman. Yeah. She was trying to get him out of there too. She was jealous. She's jealous that we still talk. Now, my daddy doing better. He's doing better. He's doing better. Y'all know I'm unemployed, and so I was telling him, which he already knows that I'm unemployed over the weekend, and I was like, you know, it's so hard being unemployed. And he was like, well, I told you I was going to give you some money. Now, he did tell me this like a month ago, but of course, why would I believe that?
Yeah.
But let me tell you why he wants to give me some money. Because for all my other siblings, he bought them a car or put them through college, except for me. So now at 37 years old, maybe sometime this year, he's going to give me a chunk of cash.
Nice.
Sure. Pretty crazy that the oldest child gets it last.
I mean, yeah, listen, parents and I don't want to say favoritism, but
all the other children.
Right. And it's like, oh, everybody get a car.
Interesting.
Look, I want to talk about my dad on this.
Listen, there's not really much to say about that nigga.
I mean, same.
My dad be trying his best, though, but I do be cussing him out regularly. I do not let him off the hook. I let him know I do not forgive him for the time he was not there because you cannot make up for that. I could have had a completely different life. That was because you was weak and you married someone you probably shouldn't have married and had children with her. Mind you, I'm low-key not even his child, but still. He said he was going to be my daddy, nigga. And so if you say you're going to be my daddy, you got to be my daddy. I'm expecting you to be my daddy if you say you're my daddy. Like, and you weren't. So, and I say that all the time. I always be correcting him on history. I be like, nigga, don't start. I don't let him talk about my mama because, nigga, you're part of the reason she was so fucked. Like I always say, my daddy was single. He didn't have no kids until I was like 15. So he got married. You know how these niggas be when they get a new girlfriend.
You saying when he abandoned or when they be...
No, that's when we used to see him.
Oh, when they be
like... He was like, they play super nigga. Now, nigga, you know we've been calling you, begging you to come over. And now you got us over here. You got some bitch over here, too? That's crazy.
Trash.
Well, I think we did it.
Yeah.
Are there like any last things? I mean, I think the most important thing is that, like, be good to your kids. Being a good parent, being a supportive parent who supports who your child is, who they tell you they are, not who you tell them you are, who they tell you who are. That's a healthy adult. Now, if your kid is telling you they are the KKK, that they're a Klansman, that they're MAGA, maybe not. Maybe you failed as a parent. But raising healthy, being a healthy parent makes healthy kids, and that makes healthy adults later. And like, take it seriously, y'all. Don't be beating them.
Yeah, I mean, on that note, don't beat your kids. Big thanks.
Oh, yeah. Big thanks to our producer and audio Adonis, Aaron Rand Freeman.
I have been Vance Go, and you can find me on Threads and Instagram at Sir The Thought. And who are you?
I'm Nandi K. You can find me on Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky at Nandi K A Y Y Y. We'll see y'all.
Bye.
Right Quick is a podcast for The Agenda Productions. Created by Nandi K and co-hosted by Vance Go. Aaron Rand Freeman is our mouthy producer. Theme music by Luke Santee. Art by Sonia Honeycutt. If you like what you heard, subscribe, rate, review, and follow us on Patreon at The Agenda Productions.